Father, thank you so much for the past days, your visitation upon us, your presence in this house, your word that came to us so vivid and so clear that God is. Thank you that we are here to continue our life's journey, that we are pressing on to accomplish and be that what you want us to be. Bless us, O God, every one of us, and may our lives unfold to the greatest. We are supposed to be blessed. We are supposed to live in an era and a time of blessing and no curse. It means things are supposed to be good. And even the bad things, you can say that all things work together for my good. And they will eventually become good in your life so that we are never discouraged. I didn't hear amen. So that we are always on top of the situation. I mean, sometimes we are disappointed, we are discouraged, and we are down. Yes, I admit that. But only for a short time. Jesus was down. My soul is exceedingly troubled, but only for a short time. So it is a human experience that you are down. Have you never fallen before? Even though you are wearing a skirt, didn't you fall? You are falling, but you didn't lie there. And oftentimes, when you fall, you are rather in a hurry to get up again. And so that is our mind now, that we are on a certain course to doing exceedingly well and blessings. We are supposed to be blessed. It is unusual that there are more cars in the secular world than in the church world. I mean, there are unbelievers, they're bad people, they have more and more cars. And then we are taking both torture, other things, managing. We are hustling. But we claim that our Father is a king. It doesn't, our lifestyles don't add up to our confession. So, but you see, it's not our Father's fault. So maybe it is time for us to change our lifestyle. Amen. And the key thing about what we have is the way you think. For as a man thinketh, so is he. The way you think very much affects who you are. And unfortunately, many of us have grown accustomed to a certain world that we came to find. I'm not too sure where this world came from, whether we made it, our parents made it, Satan made it, or it has fallen to that state. But many of us have become accustomed to bad things. Let me put it that way. We are used to smells, we are used to death, we are used to hunger, we accept poverty, we just manage somehow. You come to a place and things are not working and you say, oh Charlie, Panusa, why? That's how it is. That is Panusa. Tell somebody, never say it again, Panusa. Never let it come out of your mouth. Accept, tell him from today, don't accept things as they are. Do not. I didn't say point. I said tell anybody from today, don't accept it. Don't accept it. Our forces, many carpenters, masons, people, and my church members too, about accepting things as they are. No, I don't accept it. And sometimes I may appear reactionary or extreme, or I don't know. Just about, I don't care what you think, but I know you're thinking something like that. That this man, he goes to extreme. No, I don't accept many things. And I don't, you know something? Heaven is literally perfect. We do not. I spent many, many years studying perfection because initially I said, it's not possible. We are clay. We are flesh. We are born in sin, iniquity. This is how we are. We are always sinning. But this is my own personal study that I've not finished. But as I studied, I came to the conclusion that it is possible. to be perfect. It's possible. Perfect. You're all being quiet. It's very possible that one is perfect. Yeah. And one day I'll share it, not today. Today I want to change somebody's mind. Amen. About the world we live in. And as we said last week, many of us have in our minds a secular world and a spiritual world. And the secular world is for the devil and mammon. Mammon is the things of this world. And then the spiritual world is for God. So what we do for God counts. And we do it in a certain way. And what we do in the world is suspicious, is doubtful. And that is why some of us, we are poor. You are poor because you fear money. You fear money. You are afraid of money because when money comes, money can take you to hell. That's what you are thinking. Yeah. So you are not too sure. So when money is coming, you want money, but you don't want money. You are a bit uncertain how to handle money or how to even pray for money. And we pray for money, but not with a certain faith. And we claim big money, but it's not true. And those who claim big money, they often backslide when their big money comes. Because they were also into money, not into God. But this morning, I hope to change your mind. Amen. Everything belongs to God. Write that one down. Everything belongs to God. We have two scriptures. I'll give it to you very soon. But everything belongs to God. Everything. It was interesting when the prophet was preaching over the past 3 days that he was into marriage life, children, burning children, having sex. Hey, the prophetic gift was working very hard in those areas. As if that is what doesn't concern. God is not concerned about your sex life. He's just concerned with your, just avoid fornication. That's all. That is not all. I was amazed at how frequently he was led to intervene in those areas. Because everything concerns God. Yeah, everything concerns God. But we have left God out of many areas. And what happens is, those areas, are you listening? Those areas, therefore, do not work. And you either struggle or fail in those areas. You either come short of success in those areas. So when you are a student, there are students here, when you are a student and you don't think your studies concern God, you are going to struggle or not do well. My sister told me, I was going to Form 1. Then she told me, Patrick, do not write any exam. Don't start work until you are prayed. She told me, when you're in secondary school, when you come to the exam room, the papers are on your table, face down. She said, hey, when you enter face down, put your hand on the question paper, bow your head, don't be shy at all, because some people are shy to be seen, to be praying. They'll say you fear. They'll say you are not led. They'll give you all kinds of definitions. Don't mind them. Bow your head, put your hand on the question paper, and pray. God help me. God help me. When you finish praying, until you pray, don't turn the paper. I don't know whether it has changed, God has changed, or human beings have changed. But you people, you go in and then you are ready with your ready. Bring the precious paper. No. Pray. God is interested in your results. Amen. You mind me? Doesn't matter. Yeah. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. And the key thing I'll say is whatsoever. That's the key. You see, we have said, oh, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, for God is with thee. I mean, we have said it. But the key word is whatsoever. It means every single thing, whatever it is that concerns you and you are doing, God is involved. And he compares it with death. Where you do nothing. In the grave where thou goest, it says it is knowledge, is students, devices, making things, work is way. There's, he is comparing what you are doing in this life with death. And in death, you do nothing. You don't even breathe. You don't eat, you don't sweep, you don't clean your house, you don't do anything. My sound is changing. You don't do anything in death. So whatever you do in life, it matters for God. I didn't hear amen. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. For God is with you. You are working with, you are a sweeper, cleaner, messenger, director, whatever it is, do it with a certain zeal, a certain strength, and a certain mind of excellence. Many times we do the thing, come see, come ta. Do you know come see, come ta? Like this, like that. We are not, we don't care, we don't put ourselves into it. We are not dying to do what we are doing. And you see, that come see, come ta attitude there, it somehow blows back into the church. Because it becomes your character. So those who are lazy at their workplace become lazy in church. Those who are inconsistent and unstable at their workplace become the same inconsistent and unstable in church. Those who are always late to church are always late to work, and vice versa. Yeah. Late here, late here, late here, late here. Always the same people. If you like, ask anybody, check his lifestyle, and check his work, and check his everything. It's like that. Amen. And let me add this one too. Those who are serious with God, who really follow God, will come and understand that God is involved in everything. Hallelujah. So, this morning, I'm trying to explain how it is to be blessed in your entire life. And be blessed in your entire life. And how not to live any area of your life out of God's will, out of God's control. And if you are mindful of God, you know, this question of stop sinning. If you are mindful of God, nobody will say it. You yourself will stop it. Nobody will tell you to watch what you are. You yourself will be alive in your inner man to care about what you do. You yourself will be worried about, am I doing my best? Nobody will have to say it. You will be thinking about it. And you are the best policeman for your life. I didn't hear amen. So, blessings in our life. I've given the first point. Everything concerns God. Amen. Acts chapter 6 and verse 2. Then the disciples, the 12, called a multitude of the disciples unto them. We know this scripture. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Oh, what a beautiful scripture. It means that I shouldn't do work. I'm a man of God. I cannot leave God's work and go and... I have to... Look. We are Christians. This is the key scripture for super spiritual Christians. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. But he said, look ye among the seven men, but we will give ourselves, verse 4, continually to prayer and the ministry of the word, you know. But it's very interesting this morning. I just want to make, this is just a passing scripture, by the way. The word serve tables in verse 2 is diakonia, and the word minister in verse 4 is diakonia. You see, the people, you know, sometimes we have to make allowance for human beings. It's only heaven that is perfect. Because some of the people writing the Bible, they tried to do their best as they understood it. And I can see a man not able to equate working for man and working for God. I understand. I mean, I can't say work for me the same way you work for God. It's a bit like pride. You are prideful. I mean, it's like somebody has come and say, okay, as you are working for Ghana government went the same way for me. Are you Ghana government? So they couldn't exactly use the same word for serving tables and then doing the work of the ministry. So they, and Greek too, it has many variations, many sub-meanings. So they chose one that works, or it's not, it works. It works well in the situation. And they chose it. But unfortunately, it gives us an impression of a lesser important thing. Because, verse 3, the men who are supposed to do this inferior work are spirit-filled men. Don't find the bastards in church. Don't find those who are not serious. Don't find those who are not committed. Find those who are committed and let them do this work. So we have unconsciously diminished working for man, diminished working for outside the church as unimportant. And we have made it, this is all. And therefore, for some of us, our effort there is not much. And unfortunately, because it's the same God who is over all things, it blows back. I mean, you cannot be rude to somebody's wife and think the husband will like you. Or you think it's possible. So when you disregard God in the so-called secular world, you come and meet him again in the church. That's why Jesus said, you didn't come to see me in prison. You didn't feed the children, Matthew 25. You didn't do all those things. And he said, what you didn't do for them, you didn't do for me. So you have just stopped a little boy. Do you think I'm happy with you? Anyway, let's look at work. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2. I'm giving you just some points. And the reason is, I cannot finish discussing this topic. It is a camp. We have to sit down and take each one by itself. But I want to give you some points for you to start thinking deeply by yourself. And then we are around, pastors are around, we are always here to answer any question for any further discussion that needs to be. Acts chapter 2, Genesis 2, verse 5. And every plant of the field, before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field, before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. All this introduction. And there was not a man to till the ground. This is God's plan, oh. And so verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. I finished the scripture, I've not found it still. Number one, number two, number whichever it is. This work was given man before the fall. The fall happened in chapter 3. So God gave man work to do. I mean, the work was, verse 5, the work was arrayed before the man was created. God had made a garden and said, I'm not finishing it until the man who is working here will come. So he has created, Genesis chapter 1 is creation. And he has made all these things, but he has, which are all growing by themselves. But the ones which need a man to oversee them, he held back. Are you with me? He held back on those things that need a man's hand. Because there was no man. So, before Satan had appeared. There was no man. So, number one, work was there in God's mind at the beginning of time. Amen. Number two, work is not a punishment. It's not a labor of hard labor. It's not some kind of disturbance. It is a valid... It is an important, when I say work, I mean your life, whatever you do, study, student, carpenter, mason, nurse, teacher, headmistress, Whatever it is a valid part of your life. Amen. Because God made that thing before man was engaged in that work, before Satan even appeared. I see when you wake up in the morning, I don't want to go to work. You are not serious. You are not serious. I don't want to go to work. You wake up in the morning and say, exam is coming. Exam, may God bind the examiner. You are not serious. Bind the examiner. It is your life. That man is grooming you to your life destiny. I didn't hear amen. When you are working in a shop, this woman, this is my madam. Oh, you're wicked. I know you're wicked. It's your training ground. It's your training ground. And you're being there. This is just an aside. Wherever you are working is your fault. If it's not good, it is up to you to rise up and go to another place. You all start from somewhere. But if you are there and it's not good and you are still there, then you are not correct. The place is not good and you are still there. And you have to rise up. And we don't go down, we go up. Amen. Yeah. Who has ever seen a class 4 boy, then the next year is in class 3? I don't know what school this is. Who's the headmistress? Caroline, is that what happens from class 4 to class 3 because he didn't do well? No, you don't do well, you stay where you are. Are you listening? You don't do well, you stay where you are. You don't go down. So to leave your job and go down is madness. No, it's okay. I don't know. So number two or number three, whatever it is, work is not an assignment. School, work, whatever it is. When I say work, I mean non-church activity. Just for the ease of having to not outline students, workers, professionals, nurses. I can list all of them. Even house help, house cleaner, I can list all. But let's just say work means non-church. Is that okay? Yeah. It's not a punishment. It is a life. It is a part of your calling. It is something which God had it there before the beginning of time. Before the sin came. That was his plan. That was why I made verse 5. Everything was there, but he held back on the trees. He held back on the trees because there was no man. Yeah, when the man came down, let the rain come, let the trees grow. Hallelujah. So it's not a punishment. Number three, it is for your good. I'll explain. It is for your good. Yeah. If you are working, it is for your good. Amen. It means that if you are not working, it is not for your good. That is why unemployment is a taboo. It's in my message. It's in my notes. I'll come to it. Unemployment. Ask him, are you a working by the way, my neighbor? Do you have a job? Ask him, are you a working? If you are not working, Charlie, be careful. Don't come to church again. Go to a different church where they accept unemployment. If you are working here, it's not a good thing that I'm not working. No. And listen. Students, they think that it's a full-time job. It's not a full-time job. Many workers are also studying. Yeah. Yeah. In a week. In a whole day. What kind of work is this? What kind of job is this 11 to 1 that you have finished working for the day? You're not serious. It cannot be all. This is my life. It cannot be that this is my life. I'm just studying for... No. People have a full-time job and then work in the night. You can't tell me that it is. So number next is, don't put the notes up. It's not what I'm saying. It's not, let everybody write their own words. Don't put it down like that. You are pushing us in a way I'm not gone. Number, I say it's for your own good. It is number something to avoid idleness. To avoid idleness. Idleness. There's a stay. I don't know where it came from. Empty hands, the devil's workshop. I don't know where it came from, but it's a very true statement. When you are idle, that's when you begin to roam certain areas on your phone, on the internet, go to certain nightclubs, go to try certain things. When you are idle, then you begin to experiment. Had you been busy, you wouldn't have tried those things. You have been too tired to get up and go and chase girls. When you have come from working in your house, working with your children, working in your farm, working in your house, you don't have time to go and see. I want to come and lie down and rest. But idleness makes a person. Second Thessalonians. Verse 3. I'm reading from the Modern English Version. You know, sometimes I'm reading Job, by the way. I'm reading Job in the Modern English. It's a different book. Job in King James and Job in the Modern English are two different books. Because you have no idea the discussion that went on. Hey, how Job suffered. The guys really accused him, they attacked him. It's not clear in the King James because the English is not clear. But in the Modern English, anyway, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For when we were with you, we commanded that if any will not work, neither shall he eat. This is the Bible. For we hear that there are some among you who live in idleness, mere busybodies, not working at all. I'm not commending them. I'm rather warning them. I'm warning them that they shouldn't expect anything good in life. Are you listening? If you are idle, you don't work hard, do not expect anything good. He says they shouldn't eat. No. Don't expect anything good in life. Don't think that God is going to bless me. God is going to bless me. God is going to send me a car. I saw the prophet. He has 11 cars. He has somebody. I know somebody. He was dashed a car. Hey, Lord, do it again. Do it again, Lord. No. This scripture is fighting you. This scripture is countering your mind and your thoughts that somehow God will help me. You know, I'm fighting two people this morning. Those who don't work and those who are super spiritual. I'm fighting two extremes. You know, those who don't work, they are lazy. They go to work. They are not serious. And those who are also super spiritual, who are God is everything. God is everything. Yes, but He's also in your work, which you are not doing. So I'm trying to balance, find that middle road that will keep you to do well in this life. Tell you, but listen, you've got to work hard, study hard, work hard. Whatever you do, do it hard. It's as if it's only the melancholics who notice cobwebs. No, it's wrong. Everybody should be anti-cobweb. Everybody, you know, I have been in places where I have seen marks and stains on the wall that nobody else has. I don't think it's because I'm melancholic. It's because I love God. That's what I think. Because I want a perfectly white hall. I don't think it's that mark on the wall. One day to be gone. Oh yeah, that's pastime done by a Ghanaian mason. One day, it will be gone. I will finish, it will be smooth. At the back, you can see some white, black cable on the wall. Me and Reverend William, we are discussing it every day, that black cable, it will be gone. It's not supposed to be there. It will be gone. Yeah. And because I don't accept that issue, we should accept things. Fanusa. No, I don't accept it. And you see, sometimes, how many have ever come to their room, look at their cobwebs, and say, I'm coming. That's idleness. Why can't you do it now? Why do you come and look at the dirty plate in the sink and say, okay, I'll be back. I'm here now. Where am I? Are you Terminator? I'll be back. You are here now. Once again, I'll be back. Clean your room. Do your dishes. do the assignment. I'll do it later. That is idleness. That is idleness. God didn't want Adam to be idle, just worshiping. No, that's not what we are after. So whatever it is, do it now. Tell somebody, whatever it is, do it now. You can, it's a point. You can write it down as a point. It's there. Whatever it is, do it now. Do not put off anything. Do not postpone things. You know, I'm naturally phlegmatic. That's my character. I'm phlegmatic. Yes, thoroughly. Trained too. But I learned early. You know, one day I heard them argue that, no, he's not. He's choleric. Me, choleric, God forbid. I'm not choleric. Choleric are too hard and they are too wicked. Wicked. My wife is choleric, I tell you. No, I'm phlegmatic. But I do everything now. I do everything now. Because idleness, no, don't do anything. You know, many troubles can be avoided by just doing it now. Many troubles, quarrels in the house, fighting in the workplace, husband-wife issues. If you just do it now, there will be no trouble again. Number five. God gave Adam that work so that Adam would be responsible for something until there was a man to be in charge. There was no work. When the man came, and then God made the work. Why? So that the man is responsible for it. Amen. So that the man is in charge of it. I don't know whether you are getting me. If you are a proper human being, and I mean it, what I'm about to say. If you are a proper human being, except a baby of any type, something must depend on you. There must be something that you are the one to do. And if you don't do, it is not done. Otherwise, you are what the word is, irresponsible. Nothing is depending on you. Nothing depends on you. If you are a person and nothing depends on you, excuse me to say, you are useless. Because if you are not there, nothing changes. You're not minding me again. It's okay. No problem. If there's nothing that depends on you, that I have to do this thing, and you are alive, then you can easily die. We don't care. Because your absence will mean nothing. But Adam's absence was a problem. He was supposed to keep the garden, a garden that is not kept. Hey, in my house, I have a help in my house. Young man, our greatest fight is my lawn, because he is happy to see it grow. I mean, as the grass is growing, then he's happy. I said, no, it must never grow. It is to be kept and tended. Amen. So you are. There is something that you are responsible for. If there is nothing like that, then you are not a useful citizen. So please, whatever it is, what are you responsible for? In life, what depends on you? It can be small, but doesn't matter. We all start small. Then we all grow. But what depends on you? It means that if that thing depends on you, when you are not there, something is not working. I don't know whether you're with me. So, as a follow on to this point, Adam did the work to dress the garden and to keep it for God. Are you listening? he did it is very important. What I'm saying is very important. He did it for God. What does it mean? It means this. Every work that is being done, somebody gives it. So every work is under somebody's oversight. Adam's employer was God, because God gave him the garden to till. So the question I'm asking is, who are you working for? Are you listening? Who are you working for? And let me take you to the logical conclusion. You tell me, I work for my boss, I work for my director, I work in my office, I work in that place. You may tell me that, oh, I work for a man. I was working for an Indian. Yeah, I was working for an Indian. You may work for somebody, Ghana government, UST, your own business or something. Correction. Because of God is in every area, everything you do, you work for God. Everything you do, see it in that light. Everything you do, you work for God. So that even when you are working in a shop, in a kiosk, at a counter back or whatever it is, consider it that you are working for God. Have that attitude to make it, you know, one is not a story, one is something I've heard often, that people say that they don't want to employ Christians because Christians don't work. They are very, when they come to your place, they are just lazy, they are familiar, they just come and sit down, you open Bible when they are supposed to work. When you ask, they say, oh, madam, oh, then they just argue with you, they behave badly. And it's true, even though I employ Christians, because I'm fighting it. As I employ you, I'm going to fight with you, all my young people. I'm going to give you the work. Everything I do it in-house. But I'm fighting to make it. But what it should be is that you should be the best worker. That's what Paul said. Serve him as unto the Lord. Let it be that whatever you do for a man is as if I'm doing for God. That people say that they don't want to employ Christians, because Christians don't work. They are very, when they come to your place, they are just lazy, they are familiar, they just come and sit down, you open Bible when they are supposed to work. When you ask, they say, oh, madam, oh, then they just argue with you, they behave badly. And it's true, even though I employ Christians, because I'm fighting it. As I employ you, I'm going to fight with you, all my young people. I'm going to give you the work. Everything I do it in-house, but I'm fighting to make it. But what it should be is that you should be the best worker. That's what Paul said. Serve him as unto the Lord. Let it be that whatever you do for a man is as if I'm doing for God. Adam did this work for God. Look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 40. The easy to read version. Then the king will answer. Easy to read version. The truth is, anything you did for any of my people here, you also did for me. Hallelujah. Anything that you did for any of my people, be it in a shop, be it in an office, be it in the hospital, a teacher, be it anywhere, anything that you did for anywhere, he did it for me. As a Christian, look at me, everybody, look at me. As a Christian, this must be your work culture, so that you become the best wherever you are. I didn't hear amen. Be the best student, best worker, best doctor, best technician, best everything. And I mean, God will also help you along the way. That's a different issue. Yeah. Be the best wherever you are. Hallelujah. You are working as a student. No, you are a student. If you are last, what blessing, what credit comes to God? They went and mocked the name of God. They say, you went to prayer meeting, eh? Look at somebody. But rather, you are the Christian in the class. You are a known Christian. Rather, you should be the one at the top. So, number what? I'm just trying to shake your mind up this morning and to cause you to think differently. Okay. So, whatever you do, if something depends on you in church, it depends on you. It depends on you. It means otherwise, if nothing depends on you, please ask me about, please, what depends on you? Number one, in church, ask me about what depends on you. What depends on you in church? If nothing depends on you in church, excuse me to say, that the thing he said earlier is you. Is you. What he said earlier, I don't want to say it. Is you. Nothing depends on you. So your coming or your going makes no difference. It cannot be. It cannot be. There was a certain person who once said to me, I'm a ghost. And I said, you're a ghost. What does that mean? He said, look, I'm a ghost. I said, how? Don't listen. In my house, I'm a ghost. When I come in after work and I greet, hello, everybody, good evening. Nobody responds. Nobody responds. When I just pass, hello, everybody, how are you? I think I don't exist. They ignore me in the house. I'm a ghost. Yeah. So maybe, are you a ghost? That if you are here and you are passing, nobody cares, nobody sees. It cannot be. It cannot be. Something must depend on you. Amen. And in this small church, it cannot be. That's why in the small church, one person is doing everything. Ask him, what's your use? Please, excuse me. Time out. Commercial break. Please ask him, what's your use in the church? Please ask him, what's your use in the church? What depends on you? In this small church, you see, a church is small, but we have all the things of a big church. Whatever a big church has, we have. We do all the things. We are online, we are recording, we are cleaning the place, but we have more work than some small churches. Because there's so much work here. And we have children outside, and then we are also catering for some age. So please, ask him, what is your use? We are working for God. What is your use? Amen. Number two, whatever work you are doing, secular work. Secular, let me use the word secular. It is important for God. God will give you the ability. Exodus 31. God is also the one who will give you the ability to do whatever you are doing in the world you are. Hey. Exodus 31, verse 2. See, I have... Exodus 31, verse 2. See, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. Are you reading with me? In understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of craftsmanship. This is a man that God anointed. I didn't hear one preaching. I didn't hear one church work I mentioned in this list. And in the casting of stones for setting, and in the carving of woods to work in all manner of craftsmanship. I indeed, I have given him Oholiab, son of Ahismach, and I have given skill to all who are specially skilled, that they may make everything that I have commanded you. Every work of our hands I want us to excel wherever we are. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
I want us to excel wherever we are. Because as a Christian, you should be a shining light wherever you are. As a Christian, you should be able to stand out in class, in work, in any position. There should be a sign. I had a friend, but I still have a friend. He's a policeman. He's still a friend. He came and look, my friend, the policeman, he was always in trouble among his colleagues because he stood up as a Christian. And he said at a point, they made him permanent counterback policeman. Stationed him permanently at the counterback. But when he goes on field, he always comes back empty. And they will be always firing him in their shop, in the station. And they will be angry with him. I believe this is my belief. So now they made him permanent at the counterback. Don't go on operation again. Just stay here. That's all. You must be, look, and you see, there must be a shining light about you. There must be something exceptional about you. Not all is good. Because Christ suffered. I'm coming to Easter is coming. Easter, I'm preaching sacrifice, the cross. Yeah. You cannot be a Christian and you enjoy 100%. What kind of Christian are you? You can't tell anybody, add your finger, my neighbor. You cannot be a Christian and you not suffer somewhere. You not pay a price somewhere. Something bad will be pressure on you. Then you are not a good Christian. There will be, you are in your class and they don't mock you. You're not a good Christian. You're not a good Christian. You cannot be among unbelievers and there's no tension. There's no tension. There's no snide remarks. There's no commentary. Nothing of the kind. You are flowing in your class among your friends. Pray about it. Pray about it. Go and ask God, what am I doing wrong? There should be equilibrium. They are tired of you. And they accept you. This is how you are. They accept you. That's all. There should be equilibrium. There cannot be that you are accepted happily in your class. I'm one of the guys. It's not possible. Amen. You don't mind me. It's okay. Number next. You cannot... 1 Timothy 5. You must provide for your dependents. You must provide. There must be provision. It cannot be that you are there's no, you don't contribute, you don't provide. No, it cannot be. You must provide. Say, I'm a student. You are a student. Students work. I know students who pay their own school fees. They're not minding me again. I should change the topic. No. I know students who pay their own school fees. Students who work. I had one of my mates. When school vacates today, he's going to go and work. Then he's working the whole holiday to amass money for school fees. Then he comes back. He told me, Patrick, you can afford to fail. I said, what do you mean I can afford to fail? He said, he can afford to fail. He can't pay the remedial cost. He can't pay. So he must pass every exam one time. That means my parents are rich, I can afford to fail. I said, look, that's not what you are saying. But it's a mindset. It's a mindset. Amen. 1 Timothy 5:8. I'm closing in a few minutes. Today we are on commercial break from something. But if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, it's not that he didn't try. He has denied the faith.
It's not that he didn't. It's like, Charlie, you are backslidden. Simply because I didn't help my house. I didn't contribute. That's what it means. And even more, he is worse than an infidel. Simply because I didn't help. I didn't contribute. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm describing Christianity. I'm describing a good follower of God. I'm describing a man who loves God through and through. You don't provide, you don't give, and not only a man, a person. Because women too are Christians. And children too are Christians. Amen. If you are a child and you are a net loss, do you understand net loss? Do you understand net loss? It means you are a one-way traffic. You are just a liability and a cost. You don't bring anything. You know, my. You see, not that the parents need your money. Not at all. No. No, few. Okay, some parents need the money. Yes, it's true. Some parents do. But even those who don't need it, there's a certain maturity about you that you are able to provide something that we don't need. But I can see that you are thinking in a certain way. I don't know whether you are listening to me. There's a certain kind of, like, oh, because as a, like, oh, my father will buy it for me. Careful. I will get it from somewhere. You are not correct. Some things you try and get. That's why when a little child will come with a tray, and the tray, the water is half spilled on the table, we say, well done. Because a child is making an effort to contribute something, to serve. It's making an, I don't know whether you are understanding me. Yeah, how come you make no contribution? How come you're happy to be here? I mean, when I was in school, I had some friends who were quite wealthy. I mean, the one who, when I'm broke, there's look about 20 left. When I'm broke. Oh yeah, when I'm broke, there's conflicts, there's corned beef. I'm broke because it has reduced from 20 to 7. It has reduced. That's I'm broke. Yeah, it happens like that. You must feel funny if always he's paying. You must feel funny. I don't know whether you are listening to me. Don't be happy. Charlie, he's paying for me. Recently, I saw something by Asamoah Gyan. He said that because he's rich, everywhere he goes, people want him to pay. He said everywhere, with all his friends, everywhere he goes, they go to a spot, go and drink anything, buy anything, go to a shop. Everywhere he goes with his friends, they all just step back and watch him to pay. And he said that, you are not poor, but because he's much richer, they all like let it on him. And he said, it doesn't bring respect. I don't know whether you're understanding. It doesn't, I'm like, I'm happy they are paying for me. I'm glad they are paying for me. No, you must contribute something. You're not minding me this morning. It's okay. It's okay. Sales leaders, take it up again for me at the cell level. Yeah, you must be happy to. Adam, it's interesting. Adam was working before Eve came. Yeah, before Eve came, before the children came. Because God knew they were coming. So Adam was supplied and need for, I mean, he was farming, he was doing everything for his family. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me this morning? I've said a lot. Time is finished. I'm giving you two scriptures to close with, so we think about them. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. I'm giving you two scriptures to close. having your conversation, your lifestyle, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may, are you listening? They may, by your good works, which they shall behold, they will see clearly you are different. They will see clearly. I mean, there must be, look, I'm a pharmacist into marketing, wholesaling. Hey, everybody is giving money. Everybody is giving money. I don't know what they do. Now, in those days, it was brown envelope. They will give a brown envelope. You can't see what is inside. It's not transparent. And I was going to sell medicines at the hospital. And then they will ask me, are you coming with nothing? I said, yes. I cannot give you money. I told the man, I cannot give you money. It's wrong. But buy my things. We would argue endlessly that others are coming with brown envelope. Where is your brown envelope? I'll say, I don't have brown envelope. Do, God will bless you. And it's a funny thing to say in a business world, God will bless you. I was a pastor at that time. And I said, no, I won't give you. You know the interesting thing? This same man, when his son began to behave funny, he kept to call me to come and pray for him. If I had given him, do you think I'd call me to pray for him? When his son became funny, his son was doing dreadlocks or something, he came to look for me and said, pray for me, my son. I said, hey, what's that? Let men see that you are different. Amen. And you know why? This is the final scripture for this morning. Luke 16. It's the final scripture for this morning. Luke 16. So now I'm just giving you scripture, but notes, points. Verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, this scripture is very important. If you don't work hard somehow for somebody else, somehow God will never give you much of your own. If you are not working hard, trying hard for somebody else, his business, his shop, his enterprise, whatever it is, Ghana government, if you are not working hard for that person, somehow God will never give you much of your own. Yeah, like, it's for Satan, it's for the world. It doesn't matter. Do your hardest, best, your duty, wherever it is. Do your work. Look, teacher, nurse, they are the highest jobs in the world because you have the power to change lives. Teacher, nurse, not doctor. Doctor, you come and go. Nurse is there with the patients. A teacher is there with the kids. I tell them they are the most important jobs in the world, but they don't believe me. Yeah, you are there with the patient and the person in their moments of need or weakness. What you say will carry great weight. Make a difference. Let there be a clear sign that you are a Christian. Hallelujah. Work. Work with a certain diligence. With a certain strength. Work hard. Blessings. As you labor, the diligence will bear room. As you work hard, you will find that things will be working. But laziness, idleness, or even being super spiritual, it doesn't work at all. It will not bring you well. Hallelujah. Put your hands together this morning. I want us to stand to our feet this morning. I want us to decide. Hallelujah.